WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Dougal Dixon has been fascinated by dinosaurs since he was five. His interest was so great, he sold his toy train set and bought some modeling clay and a camera to make his own monster movies. Dixon still does some animation on the side, but he's best known for his imaginative science writing. His 1981 book, After Man, predicts how animals and birds might look after another 50 million years of evolution. His new book, The New Dinosaurs, combines science and fantasy to illustrate the dinosaurs that might have been.
The premise is quite simple. It's a speculative piece on if the dinosaurs had not become extinct, what would animal life on the globe be like today?
So you're speculating on what dinosaurs would be like if they weren't made extinct 65 million years ago.
Right. What? Over the last 65 million years, the surface of the globe has changed quite considerably. The movement of the continents and development of new climatic zones, new environments. These were changes that were far greater than the changes that actually took place during the age of dinosaurs itself. And so if the dinosaurs continued until today, they would have had to change at quite a considerable rate just to keep up with the change in the environments. So the dinosaur life that we would have today would be quite different from the dinosaur life we'd know from the fossil record.
So what were your ground rules in creating the new imaginary dinosaurs?
Basically, we had to see what environments would be available to them today, then see what kind of animal is best fitted for each particular environment. A different kind of animal would climb a tree and eat fruit from the animal that would live in open grasslands and eat grass, and so on. So knowing the sort of animal that we would need, I then went back to the age of dinosaurs, looked at the types of dinosaurs that were the most prolific, the most successful at the very end, and suggested that those are the ones that would have continued to evolve, continued to change, to produce the animal life that we see around us today.
Let's look at one of the dinosaurs you've imagined would exist on the North American continent, and this is something called the monocorn. And to me, it looks something like a cross between a dinosaur and a buffalo, with some things that would fit in neither category at all.
The monocorn lives on the North American prairies, which are essentially grasslands. Now, grasslands are one of these environments that that are quite new. They only evolved about 50 million years ago, since the time of the dinosaurs. And grasslands are one of the new environments that the dinosaurs would have to adapt to if they were living today. To live in a grassland, and to eat grass, you need a very sophisticated tooth pattern, because grass is remarkably tough stuff, and you need a very complex stomach system as well. Also, on a grassland, the grasslands tend to be very wide open spaces, and enemies can be seen coming from long distances. So an animal that lives on grasslands tend to be a long-legged running animal that can run away swiftly when danger approaches. And if we had dinosaurs today, you would have long-legged running dinosaurs living on the prairies and the savannas and the open grasslands of today.
The dinosaurs in your book are drawn with loving detail. I wonder if you think that these imagined creatures are any more bizarre than the actual real dinosaurs who roamed the Earth over 65 million years ago.
The trouble with straightforward dinosaur paleontology is that we have very, very little in the way of evidence. We have bones, we have skeletons, we have footprints, but a lot of the artwork of ancient dinosaurs that you see today is very largely speculative. And it is very likely that some of the dinosaurs and some of their habits, their eating habits, their lifestyles, were indeed very, very bizarre, and we just cannot visualize them. We do not have proof, direct proof as to what their detailed lifestyle was like. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me at all if some of the dinosaurs of the past actually did exist in the way that I have suggested in this book.
You've done a very interesting critique of dinosaur books and dinosaur movies, and I'd like to go over some of the perceptions that you've had about monster movies and dinosaur films. There's a lot of the movies are based on the Lost World theory, that there's a part of the world that was left untouched since millennia ago. What do you find impossible about that?
I don't find the actual concept impossible, but the way that the concept is presented in movies, in works of fiction, is a little bit unlikely. These areas must be very small areas, otherwise they would have been discovered up until now. So if an expedition went into a lost world now, the leader of the expedition wouldn't say, "Oh, a brontosaurus! Oh, an iguanodon! Oh, triceratops!" Because those animals just would not be there. If the dinosaurs had existed and continued to exist in such a small area, they would have developed very small forms in order to make the best use of the limited resources, the limited food supplies in a small area like that.
Do you have favourite monster movies when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah. I have favourite monster movies now, for goodness sake. I've never grown up.
What are some of your favourites?
One of my favourite dinosaur movies was The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, and that was one of the earliest dinosaur movies of the 1950s. The thing was so successful when it came out that it spawned a whole collection of monster films in that decade. But this was actually the first of them. In it, a dinosaur, one that is totally unknown to science, makes it easier for the designer that way, is thawed out of the Arctic ice pack, and then it's less let loose in New York, and it stamps Manhattan flat. I enjoyed that.
I think it's so funny, the idea of a dinosaur surviving and somehow being at home in the middle of a metropolis like Manhattan.
Again, that is very, very unlikely. If if a dinosaur from the past suddenly appeared today, the last thing it would do is walk into a major city and knock the buildings down. It would want to steer clear of such an alien environment and keep well away from it.
There's a whole genre of monster movie where a dinosaur-like creature is created because some kind of egg was exposed to radiation. Godzilla is a good example of this. What do those movies make you think about?
It is, as you say, one of the plot cliches in a monster film like this, that you get some part of the dinosaur, usually the egg, which has lain dormant for 100 million years and hasn't gone off. And it is usually brought to life by some rather unusual agency, such as a volcanic explosion or a nuclear explosion, something that you don't think of as being a life-giving force under normal circumstances. But when this crops up in a film, in a movie, in a work of fiction, it's not there to be criticised from a scientific point of view. It is usually there just as a plot device, just to get the show on the road.
Is Godzilla an interesting dinosaur?
It's a bit of a hybrid dinosaur. It stands on its hind legs and it stands very vertically. That is because the man inside it has to stand up and work all the switches, and so it has to be human shaped to start with. Then they've stuck on all sorts of spikes and electronic equipment all over it just to make it look spectacular. And then they let it loose in Tokyo to stump the buildings flat. Again, it's an interesting thing for a dinosaur to do, but I don't think it would actually do that.
Do you ever have dinosaur dreams, dinosaur nightmares?
The last dinosaur nightmare I had was quite some time ago, and I remember it quite clearly. I was being chased by this most hideous thing, and I was in dire peril of my life and of my very soul, and I was absolutely terrified, but at the same time I was thinking, well, I don't think much of the animation, but the superimposition's pretty good.
So you're working on two levels at the same time there.
Does one dream on two levels like that? It's the first experience I'd had of it.
Dougal Dixon is the author of The New Dinosaurs, published by Salem House. This is Fresh Air.